The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, nearly two-thirds of students questioned in an educational programme believe that using contraception can cause infertility. Much of the misinformation that they're exposed to comes from online sources like social media and ChatGPT. Debunking the Myths is a sexual education programme based at the Rotunda Hospital in Dublin, which provides accurate and reliable sex education without judgment. And the programme lead, Dr. Ronan Daly, joins me now. Ronan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having us on.
Now, we'll talk about what the programme offers in a moment. But first of all, it's a bit disturbing to find out that so many teenagers are getting their sex ed online and they're getting it wrong.
Yeah, I suppose with the increasing use of TikTok amongst teenagers and especially with ChatGPT and AI sources of information, you know, it's an easy way for young people and students and teenagers to get information. But the basis that information is kind of generated from may not necessarily be accurate or relevant, particularly to that person's circumstances.
And we know that if you get it once and you kind of react to that, that the algorithm is going to send you lots more of the same.
Exactly. And that's one of the things, particularly on things like TikTok as well. You know, a lot of the purpose of that content is not really sexual health education. It's engagement. It's to get views. It's to get things. So, you know, that can also impact on the reliability of the information that they get as well.
Now, the dangers, I suppose, are if people who have been using contraception then start believing that it can cause infertility, you may end up with unwanted pregnancies or ill-timed pregnancies.
Yeah, so that's definitely something, you know, that's really topical on TikTok and social media in general, and is using cycle tracking and the reliability of cycle tracking for prevention of unintended or unwanted pregnancies. And, you know, that is something that particularly in teenagers is because of they may have irregular cycles, they may have variable fertility windows, you know, that it is much less reliable and less effective for them as a form of contraception. So that's definitely something that could potentially impact significantly on their health.
And of course, I presume people might be using it in the opposite direction, trying to have a baby where they have failed and depending on TikTok for their wisdom.
Yeah, and I suppose, again, that's why it's so important to be delivering, you know, scientific-based, evidence-based information. And this is one of the great things about debunking is that kind of direct point of contact or point of information from someone who is an expert, you know, a clinician in the field of obstetrics and gynecology. So it is, you know, just making sure that information that mm-hmm. they're getting is what they should be hearing and they should be getting. And that's also tailored to them personally as well, you know, with their own history and their own background as well.
Talk to me about the misinformation or disinformation on STIs or STDs. What are the myths being peddled on social media?
I think a lot of it is based on, you know, how can someone get an STI or what symptoms someone will have if they have an STI. So, you know, we ask all the students who attend the debunking education sessions, you know, for questions. And one of the really common ones is, you know, can I get an STI from doing X? And that ranges from, you know, swimming in a pool to sitting on a toilet seat or whatever. Those like really old school myths that we see are still permeating today. But one of the other common things we get are STIs are fatal as well. And we do see that, you know, even though STIs decreased from last year, but, you know, chlamydia cases are still 50% of chlamydia cases are still found in young people in that bracket. So it is a real health concern for them. So it's just important that we kind of make sure that they understand about, you know, symptomology of STIs, of how STIs are transmitted. And then also, and probably the most important thing as well, is what to do if you think you have an STI or your partner tells you they have an STI, or, you know, the just promoting getting STI testing in general. Particularly with programs like SH24, which provides home testing kits for people who use it, and it's really just about kind of making making young people, you know, they responsible for their health and the health of their partners, but also trying to allay some of those concerns about STIs and transmission as well.
Now, are kids being encouraged or discouraged from using condoms?
So we've definitely seen so, but in 2018, there was a report published which showed the Health Behaviours of School-Aged Children report in 2018. There was 22% of young people reported that they weren't using contraception when having sex, and that's gone up now to 34% from the last available one in 2022. So we've seen a big, you know, there is a jump in that, and I think that does come back to, you know, information about, you know, cycle tracking and also just about contraception in general, particularly awareness about things like long-acting forms of contraception or fears about fertility. We asked, you know, the students at our program about, you know, what was a normal cycle, or what did they think that fertility was going to have a big impact, contraception was going to have a big impact on their fertility. And a lot of them did, about 60% of them did think that using forms of hormonal contraception even would impact on their fertility longer term. So they are still, those myths are present, even though we know that that is not the case, that, you know, contraception, particularly hormonal contraception, is safe and doesn't have a lifelong or a lasting impact on getting pregnant in the future.
Now, many of the people who are peddling this stuff have absolutely no medical background whatsoever. So, I mean, what gives them credibility with the kids?
I think that part of it is that this age group, that's where they get all of their information from. It's how they communicate with their friends, with their peers, with everyone. So I think one of the things we try and instigate is not, you know, we could just sit there and pontificate to them or tell them about things, but it's also about kind of helping them to themselves understand and be able to differentiate between information, and not to just take it, what they see on TikTok or what they get from ChatGPT as gospel or as the truth. That we've encouraged them to direct them to reliable sources of information, and as well, you know, being able to ask someone who works in that area directly a question, I think does help to kind of create that idea that maybe they shouldn't just accept everything at face value, that there may be other reasons why those posts are being sent to them or being put on their feed.
Now, the question of sexual behaviour being altered by what's going on TikTok, you know, we know that young men particularly may be using pornography and believing that what goes on in a pornographic video is what is likely to happen when they end up having sex with someone of their own age group.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that's becoming increasingly over the last couple of years, you know, a big concern. And we do try and encourage, we cover at least kind of four general areas about sexual health, but one we are very strongly involved in putting forward to the students is talking to them about, you know, consent and the importance of consent and what that actually means in a practical way for people in real life, not what they see on their phones or on their laptop or whatever. That, you know, that with the idea of consent and bodily autonomy, that, you know, consent belongs to you, and that, you know, everyone involved in, are responsible for protecting themselves and their partners. And we have, you know, the data from the sexual assault treatment unit in the Rotunda that about a quarter of their attendances were under the age of 18. So, you know, this is a really pivotal time in those people's lives. Where when it comes to their sexual health, in particular around, you know, consent and sexual assault. So that is something definitely that we've seen.
Now, we know that with the large language models like ChatGPT and GPT and all the other large language models that are out there, they scrape various sources for information. So they're scraping stuff that includes that which is accurate and that which is inaccurate or straightforwardly wrong. Are the teenagers aware that, you know, this kind of information, even if they go to ChatGPT, is not reliable?
I think that hopefully some of them are, and hopefully we've done a bit of work to make that happen. But I do think that it is, as I said, it is where they get their information from. It's how they communicate with people. it's the first port of call if you have to write an English essay or whatever, you know. So it is something that that's what we're trying to kind of instill in them, is that sort of questioning. It's making sure that they're relying on things in particular, because AI includes so much information, and as you say, not all of it is going to be medically maybe 100% accurate. And you know, it's something that we've seen as well, and we encourage them in most aspects, but particularly, you know, when it comes to contraception, this idea that, you know, one size doesn't fit all in when it comes to contraception, that there'll be information about certain forms of it, particularly when it comes to hormonal contraception, that, you know, maybe didn't suit one person but can suit someone else, and that it is, you know, a kind of personal thing for the young person to develop and to learn about and to get information on, but where they get that information from is really important.
It's interesting that the reporter in the Irish Examiner who wrote a piece on this today, Niamh Griffin is her name, she's the health correspondent, and she said that because OpenAI, which created ChatGPT, had said it had improved the quality of its information, that she then asked ChatGPT, can the pill make me infertile? And the answer was no, the contraceptive pill does not make you infertile. And then asked if you could catch an STI sitting on a dirty toilet, it said only, it's very unlikely.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe part of it where, I suppose, you know, whether it's programming, it's just designed to kind of not be a very clear cut answer, definitive, you know, medical base, because it's probably taking information from sources where there's, you know, so it's written somewhere that could potentially happen or whatever, and it takes that then as information. And that's why, you know, getting information from real clinicians and real people working in this field is just so crucial for them at this juncture in their lives.
Because when Niamh asked Meta AI, which is of course from Zuckerberg and Facebook, it was less clear about the pill, saying there's no strong evidence that the pill causes permanent infertility, which is not quality advice.
No, yes, which is there's no evidence that the pill causes infertility at all. And it is, you know, it's disappointing to see that, the, you know, that kind of that change in language, even just from there's just no strong evidence that it does. It is just kind of disheartening to see, I suppose, when young people do rely so heavily on these sources of information for their kind of their sexual health in particular. Again, they may not feel comfortable talking at home with their parents or their family or their peers about certain things. And it is one of the things we do at the sessions as well, as we take anonymous questions so the students can submit questions on their phones. And it is one of those things of, I do think that it is so important for them to be able to have that avenue, that they may have a question that they've spent time asking ChatGPT or Googling or looking things up on TikTok or whatever, that they can actually get an answer directly for that particular question.
Now, Ronan, finally, I should ask you, how do people access debunking the myths? How do you go about it? Is it a very simple thing, just Google it and find it?
If you Google debunking it, and we have a really good team who do a lot of work, particularly around social media. So we have, you know, we have a TikTok account, we have an Instagram. So it's all debunking the myths. And we've been, you know, we've had a really good response to the program. We've had over 17,000 students attend since 2022. And, you know, we're available to any secondary school programs. We started doing online sessions, which made a huge difference, because we could reach students and schools in other parts of the country. We're all based in Dublin at the Rotunda. So it's been amazing to be able to get out and to kind of reach people. And we've actually done every single county in Ireland at some point has attended debunking. So it's been great to have that representation. But yeah, so debunking the myths, and it's on all forms of social media as well, and with website as well. So
Ronan Daly, the lead doctor on Debunking the Myths educational program. Ronan, thank you very much for joining us on our program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.